Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. Always a pleasure to be able to spend a very empowering hour with you. Today, I have about 9 different topics I'm going to report on, but you will have an opportunity during that period of time to call in on our talkback number and share your informed and insightful ideas as well. Our talkback number is 888-874-4888. We always begin with the latest on health and healing. Almonds. Almonds reduce the risk of heart disease, according to Aston University, which is in the United Kingdom. According to Aston University, scientists have found that eating almonds in your diet can reduce the risk of heart disease by keeping blood vessels healthy. By the way, that's the same thing that pomegranates do, and beets do as well. Research found that they significantly increase the amount of antioxidants in the blood, reduce blood pressure, improve blood flow, and these findings add weight to the concept of a Mediterranean diet. A Mediterranean diet is not a vegan diet, it is not a vegetarian diet, but is simply the healthiest overall diet that there's documentation to support. Now, there may be healthier diets that have not been properly analyzed. When I was traveling in South America, I found diets that I thought were exceptional, and the people were exceptionally healthy, even into old age. And also, it's true in other parts of the world where people are living longer lives without any statistically significant amount of the diseases like heart disease, cancer, diverticulitis that we have. But a healthy, organic, plant-based diet is just an extra health insurance policy. So a Mediterranean diet for the average person is terrific. They tested the short-term almond-enhanced diet on healthy young and middle-aged men, as well as a group of young men with cardiovascular risk factors, including having high blood pressure or being overweight. A control group ate what they normally would. They didn't get better. Those who consume 50 grams of almonds, that's just a little less than 2 ounces a day for 1 month. At the end of the study period, the group eating an almond-enriched diet had higher levels of antioxidants, mainly your alpha-tocopherols, in their bloodstream, improved their blood flow, and lowered their blood pressure. That reduced the risk of heart disease. And by the way, you should take your blood pressure twice a week. I do. I just had mine taken just this morning, and 110 over 70, sometimes 68. That's kind of an ideal. Resting pulse, 50, sometimes up to 55, depending upon the amount of training. And a diet that keeps the blood naturally thin, and that's what you want. Interesting, because recently when I was doing my annual overall everything checkup, blood, everything, every virus, everything you could look at in a person's body, I had done an EKG, etc., cardiologist examination. And the person said, "What was I taking to keep my blood thin? Which drug?" And I said, I don't take drugs. I don't take any medication. "Why not?" And began to argue and said, what do you do? I said, "Well, vitamin C, that doesn't do anything." "All right, vitamin E, that doesn't do anything." "Garlic, that doesn't do anything." No matter what I mentioned, it didn't do anything. There's no science to back it up. So I dropped off at that doctor's office 110 studies and said that there are over 12,000 additional studies on PubMed in the peer-reviewed literature showing that indeed it does. Now, mind you, I didn't say you're wrong. I didn't attack him. I didn't say you're foolish or you're irresponsible, because if you're telling people to go ahead and have the standard American diet with all the saturated fat, which thickens the blood, and not to take an impedance test on a regular basis, like a weekly basis, especially if you're training, because you can dehydrate. When you dehydrate, you don't have enough water, your blood thickens. No, because then he wouldn't read it all. He'd just throw it away. And then you have to understand that you're dealing with people who have a perceptional imbalance. Now, what is a perception imbalance? This is a term I came up with about 5 years ago when I was doing an all-day continuing education credits for medical doctors, orthodox. None of this was alternative. I was invited to spend the whole day teaching these doctors about public health issues. I had a doctor come up to me later and says, well, this was a waste of a day. And I said, why so? Well, because no one else was aware of the conversation. It was over in a corner. And he said, because what do you think we do all day, every day? I said, you help patients. You try to get them well from whatever condition they have. He said, that's right. And if we're using the finest scientific tools and the best medicines and the best surgical procedures and the best diagnostics in the world here, don't you think if what you're teaching was as important, it would have been in our curriculums, we would all know it, we'd pass it on to the patients? And in that moment, I had a choice. And remember, everything's about freedom of choice. I chose not to confront him. I chose not to say, you are practicing as a group the worst medicine in all the developed nations, and that's according to a Lancet article, Journal of the American Medical Association article, New England Journal of Medicine article. We're dead last. You completely fail in all chronic care. You have more patients dying from iatrogenesis or the wrong prescribed drug or a drug you prescribed that may have been the right drug but not paying attention to other drugs the person was taking that had reactions. That's very common. Or you gave a medical procedure that wasn't necessary. Some aspect of what you were doing caused a person to lose their life. More people will lose their life due to medical mistakes each year than any other cause of death. And I can say, and that's the number one cause, but the AMA has the number three cause, but then they didn't do the research that my team did. And we were five scientists, medical doctors, specializing in research and research methodology, and we only used orthodox medicine statistics, none of our own. And there was no opinions involved. It was just plain facts. You're practicing death medicine. You're killing patients. Now, where you succeed, where you're exemplary, where you should be commended, is in saving lives through emergency medicine. There, we're number one in the world. But that represents somewhere between 10 and 12% of all medicine. But what about the 88% of the people that get a medicine they didn't need, or a medical diagnosis that is wrong, or are over-medicated? Like psychiatry. That whole profession fails miserably. It shouldn't even be allowed. Psychiatry should simply be banned. And all these prescription medications taken away, and then go back to helping a person with what's really wrong with insightful psychoanalysis and therapies that are known to benefit a person. I said none of that, because once a person's perception of a truth is cemented, they're not going to change. Nothing will make them change. They see everything in black and whites. They don't see any spectrum of growth. They don't see themselves growing outside of their original hard work. And what, quite frankly, is inhumane internships, working ridiculous hours, nonstop, as if somehow that's going to help them or help the patient. It harms both. We shouldn't do that. In any case, so how do you reach a person that is a closed mind? And right now, on different issues, almost all Americans have a closed mind. For example, those, just one freedom of choice. If it's my body, it's my choice. Shouldn't I have the right to take a vaccine? Absolutely you should. Should I have the right not to take a vaccine? Absolutely you should. I'm going to support you either way. I'm not going to tell you ever to take a vaccine or not. What I will ask you, and this is the tricky part, have you done your homework outside of your belief system, that which creates your perception of what is true and real and necessary and supportive? In almost 99% of the cases, it's no. Where did you get your information to make your choice? Well, it was in the New York Times, so you're allowing a reporter who you know nothing about to be in control of your life choices. Because if you make the wrong choice, if there's something wrong with the choice you make, no one's going to come and fill in for you. There's no stand-in for side effects. And what if you had a condition that prevented you from having a vaccine? Would you feel then that you were not an honorable citizen, that somehow you were not living up to being dutiful by following the obligations that everyone else was doing? So we have to understand there is a cognitive disconnect between what we believe and our ability to challenge it to see if we should believe in it or not, and to what degree. If you remember yesterday, I played a clip by Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor, and even though I can agree or disagree with her or any Supreme Court justice on any given position they take, remember, all of the Supreme Court justices are reading the same identical text, and yet they have 9 different opinions. So each one of them has to filter by bias, which means everybody's got bias, but they're filtering through bias how they're going to interpret that information. So it's not the information that is relative, it's their interpretation of it. And therefore we have complete disagreement. But she said, I still find all humans to have value. You just have to look for it sometimes. You bet. Now, what if you change your perception and before you made a decision, which is your right, and I support that. My whole career I've supported freedom of choice. Shouldn't you also be responsible enough to look outside of your immediate comfort zone and see if there's other opinions and who's got the science on their side, who's got the truth on their side, who's got the clinical experience on their side, who's got a reality on their side that would allow you to shift your perception, at least on that issue? That's what we have to do. And all I did in that doctor, going back to the continuing education day, I simply said, you may be right. And I'm sure that every day, everything you and everyone else in this room, they can do to help save a life, improve health, you're doing. So I commend you for your dedication to helping your patients. I merely put information out that if you do not find it reasonable, then don't accept it. And then he looked at me as if, well, we're not in an argument yet, but he's already been emphatic. Well, if he's already emphatic and closed the door and cemented the door shut, arguing is not going to change anything. So when you see all these people yelling and screaming and condemning, that's not changing anyone's mind, except a lot of people, a lot of silent Americans are looking at people who are outraged by everything and then self-righteous in their indignation of everything. And then they condemn you as if you have no value whatsoever if you do not adhere to their principles and their perceptions. But what if their perceptions are wrong? How can a 16-year-old screaming at someone, cursing at them, what do they know about anything? They don't know anything. They're functionally illiterate. They're simply sharing what they were told is a wrong without the ability, intellectual or otherwise, to discern the truth. Because somewhere in their belief systems, other people's absolutism took over and became the dominant theme. This is right, this is wrong. Always be with what is right. Okay, what if we think what is right is wrong? That's where we're at today. I've never seen us this divided. Anyhow, I just want to share that with you because it's something I'm faced with all the time in my entire career. Having people where you're sharing simple, scientifically valid, I could show you 1,000 studies on the dangers of eating meat, and nothing in the way of science proving that eating meat is good for you, prevents cancer, prevents heart disease, prevents clogging of the arteries, prevents dementia, prevents any disease you can think of. There's not a study in existence that proves that, and yet you'll have people arguing with you that it's my freedom to eat what I want, and they're right. I had to watch my own family eat itself to death, smoke itself to death, drink itself to death, be sedentary to death. I had to watch that. Imagine what it's like being me, where people all over the world seek my advice, and I give it for free, and yet my own family would never take a piece of my advice, not once. It's like if you're born in West Virginia, you're born with a missing gene, and I've seen all my friends are dead. All my friends from West Virginia all died young, 40s, 50s. I think one made it to 60. And I think there was a special mention that he made it to 60. Yeah. And yet they all can defend everything they did wrong. And that's our freedom of expression. That's how warped a perception can be. Waking up every day and knowing you have choices and how little you put into examining the outcome of the choice you're about to make. So to finish this up, so I just want to share that with you because, look, something as simple as eating almonds and helping prevent heart disease, and it's in the scientific literature, that shouldn't be arguable. If there was nothing backing it up, no clinical experience, no life experience, no historical life experience, okay, then you could say, well, if I can't have proof that almonds are going to help my heart, why should I do it? But then reverse it and say, but I can show you 1,000 studies, and I can show you tens of millions of dead Americans and hundreds of millions of Americans who are sick and dying prematurely because they chose to make the wrong choice and double down with self-righteous indignation. How dare you? So then you realize there's arguments to make, but there is no distemperament that should go behind the argument. You do not have to put someone down. You do not have to denigrate them. You do not have to become violent, emotionally or even intellectually, to disagree. And where is our forms open and civil for disagreeing? How can we expand our consciousness without it? How can we expand science without it? We can't. Next up, from the taking vitamin D during pregnancy could lower the risk of eczema in your babies. This is published in the British Journal of Dermatology. There's your peer-reviewed journal. At a University of Southampton, there's a highly prestigious university with a whole research team of something as simple as just giving yourself supplementation while you're pregnant. Even if you just took the daily required amount for 14 weeks, then you'd be doing a lot of good for your developing baby. They use 700 pregnant women took part in the research, and one group took a placebo, the other group took the vitamin D. Quote, our results showed that babies of mothers receiving supplements had a lower chance of having atopic eczema at 12 months, which supports recommendations for vitamin D supplements to be routine during pregnancy, end quote. Good for them. From the University of Massachusetts Medical School, comes an article, interesting article, a student of neuroscience shows how meditation may vanquish mental disorders. Now, this is really important when you consider that minimally, 50 million Americans suffer from some form of emotional, which they then diagnose as a pathology, a disease, which it's not. And all you have to do is look at the National Institutes of Mental Health. They say 7.7 million Americans suffer from schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. I say they're wrong. I say they have no legitimate science behind it. I have a new documentary coming out on that topic. I was there leading the largest demonstration against, and all the people in this audience came to that, not all the people, but the whole demonstration was from people from this audience. We were right across from Jacob Javits, and remember that for those of you who were there with the placards? And we weren't yelling and screaming. We were handing out literature, handing out DVDs, handing out documentaries on the overdrugging, over-medication for conditions that did not show any improvement, and there was no scientific literature supporting them. And then I met with psychiatrists individually. We handed out information. And I asked him, you'll see it on film, 12 out of 12, from around the world, Germany, Holland, Great Britain. I said, or asked, do you have any peer-reviewed literature showing that there is a legitimate diagnostic test that can prove a brain chemical imbalance? No, 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 no. So then we got a camera inside the center, and the seven members of the panel all said the same thing. Well, in every ad on television, you talk about a brain-chemical imbalance. But in reality, you have never been able to prove a brain-chemical imbalance. That's fraud. So you can sell a drug, and look at the drug. If you have depression, look at the package insert. Number one side effect, depression. If you have anxiety, number one side effect if by taking an anti-anxiety pill, anxiety. Oh, and also death and suicide and rage. And how many of these shooters, clearly these shooters are imbalanced. How many of them are on psychiatric meds? How many of the 20 to 22 American GIs every day who blow their brains out are on psychiatric meds? No one will dare touch that topic. Because if they do, they'd see that an entire section of American healthcare and medicine and treatment is a fraud. So this paper, however, is different because it focused on meditation and the subject's ability to change brain activity in the posterior cingulate cortex, or PCC, and given the chance to observe real-time feedback on their PCC activity, some meditators were even able to control the levels of activity there. I share a simple meditation with people who have high blood pressure, aside from all the other things, diet, etc., and nutrients that can help. I say, just sit for 10 minutes and just say, calm, calmer, relax, be at ease, and just keep repeating and feel your body and feel your blood pressure coming down. I'm bringing my blood pressure down. I'm calm. I'm calmer. I'm relaxed. I'm at ease. A simple meditation and breathe deeply and relax and exhale. And it works. So I'm very confident that deep meditation can help a lot of people. And this study actually showed that. All right. So go to University of Massachusetts Medical School, National Institutes of Mental Health, and a peer review major paper. 10-minute sessions. That's all it took. 10 minutes for them to experience that improvement. Also from the University of Southern California, fasting could regenerate the immune system. So for all of you who have been in the newest anti-aging study, we have you on a modified fast. You fast from dinner till breakfast. Hopefully that's about 12 to 14 hours. That's hugely important. All the scientific literature on fasting, modified fasting, shows you're going to live longer, stronger immune system, be leaner, healthier, more energy, etc. But then on the weekend, also modified fasting, we eat no solid foods, you drink, and you drink your protein smoothies and all your other nutrients go into their smoothies. People are saying that they no longer have pain, they no longer have fatigue, they're sleeping through the night, all kinds of conditions are improving. Yet that wasn't the purpose of the study. That's the consequences of the study. So reframing from food for as little as 2 days can regenerate the immune system, helping your body fight infection. Scientists at the University of Southern California said the findings could have major implications for the elderly and people suffering from damaged immune systems, like cancer patients. And researchers tested the effects of fasting for 2 to 4 day periods over the course of 6 months on both humans and mice. In both cases, long periods of not eating significantly lowered white blood cell counts, and in mice, each cycle of fasting then flipped a regenerative switch that triggered stem cell-based regeneration of new white blood cells, thereby renewing the body's defense system. That's really important. So you see, you've been doing it right, and now your body benefits. And men with low testosterone levels have higher rates of depression. That's a new study out of George Washington University Medical School. So there's natural ways of raising your testosterone. I will deal with that on a classroom on the air, because it's going to take longer. And real quick, from Binghamton University, infants breastfed have an immune boost that helps them fight off infectious disease. That's according to Binghamton University, a professor there, and it's important. So get yourself healthy. If you're pregnant and having full term, breastfeed. It's very, very important for the development of the child's immune system. We're out of time for our health and nutrition. We're 26 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break.